It's Dave O and Killian White's KC Press Box, powered by FanDuel. The KC Press Box, where you get the sports headlines that you care about. Plus, learn to make cold, hard cash with the Sportsbook 101 that teaches you every aspect of sports investing. The lineup is ready. The players are set. And now, let's head to the KC Press Box with your hosts, Dave O and Killian White.
Killian, it has arrived, my friend. I am talking about championship weekend in the NFL. How excited are you?
Oh, I'm really excited. And it's taking place here in Kansas City, which is huge.
Yes, everything worked out perfectly for that. The Chiefs would have had the one seed no matter what, because Cincinnati would have waxed them the first time they played. As we told you right here in the KC Press Box, the Chiefs would have had the game here anyways. So either way, it worked out how it was supposed to. The Chiefs, the one seed, hosting the game against the Bengals. We've got, of course, the Eagles and the 49ers to talk about. We're going to go over last week's games. Welcome to the KC Press Box. We'll have our main takeaways from last week. We'll talk some DFS, all sorts of things. And Killian, of course, our lock of the week.
Of course.
44 wins, 21 losses. Tell me how hot Daddy is right now.
Daddy is hot.
No,
that's all you're getting from me, man.
No, I need more sultry. You got to be a little more sexy. I mean, I'm telling you, the women listening, my girlfriend listens, your mom listens, they want to hear it.
They want to hear it. Yeah.
Okay. One more time.
All right. Daddy's getting hot.
There we go. It's not what I'm looking for.
I know it's close enough.
I'll accept it. That's a C-minus effort. We'll talk about that when we re-up your contract for next NFL season.
You might look for a new co-host.
Yeah. We'll see if we bring him back. Yeah. Someone's going to have to give Daddy a little compliments here. But yeah, now 45-21. It's 44-21, sorry.
Yep.
On the lock of the week.
Looking ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking ahead to this week. I'm that confident. We'll have a lock for you later on in the show. But man, I'll tell you what. This weekend is like bittersweet for me, right? Because I love it, but it's our last multi-game slate of the year. We have two games this Sunday, of course, 2 o'clock and 5:30-ish. Mm-hmm. And then after that, 2 weeks off, and then it's the Super Bowl, and that's it. Like, the NFL's over.
Let's not forget about that wonderful flag football game we have coming up.
Yeah, okay, I'll be sitting that one out.
With Snoop Dogg and Pete Davidson.
Yeah. By the way, why is Pete Davidson...
They're just like, hey, who are the two biggest stoners we know? Let's make them the captains.
But why is this guy like... I don't get it. Like, it's like, this guy is... Why is he such a relevant celeb in 2023? Like,
keeps dating famous people, I guess.
I don't get it. I've never gotten the Pete Davidson thing. The better Pete is Pete Wentz, for sure.
Yeah.
Right? You with me on that? Mm-hmm. Better Pete. Pete Wentz or Pete Davidson?
I'm not sure I know who Pete Wentz is. That bad?
What?
What's Pete Wentz?
Amanda, intern in here? She isn't... From Fall Out Boy?
Oh, duh. I don't think I knew his name.
You don't know who
I'm
Pete
familiar
Wentz
with
Yeah,
Pete
we're finding Wentz. A new co-host for next
okay,
year,
yeah,
officially.
No, okay.
But for now, we've got...
We got to finish this episode.
You've got to intro yourself. For now, we've got...
Sharpshooting Killian White.
That's right. Now you're coming back next year for sure. I love doing the show with you with FanDuel Sportsbook. They're going to have some great deals. We can't say what they are, but I have heard some rumors and seen some things about some amazing Super Bowl things with FanDuel Sportsbook. So you'll want to keep it right here for more info on that. But how was your week, brother? Was everything good this week?
Yeah, really good week of betting. I'll remind you that I went 4-0 ATS on the picks last week. It wasn't quite brave enough to bet them all, but got the 49ers and the Bengals right, which was nice. Even put a little bit on the Bengals money line. So yeah, real good week.
I had a massive week. I was up $3,300 just sports betting. I did end up losing about $700 on DFS, so I ended up about plus $2,600 for last weekend. Was a fantastic week. Got everything right except for one of the boosts on FanDuel. Actually, I hit the Bengals at plus $500 winning outright and the 49ers winning outright. Put 50 on that, maxed that out. Did lose the each quarterback throwing two touchdowns, Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. But that Joe Burrow Josh Allen bet was the only bet I lost the entire weekend, bro.
That's insane. Yeah, before the episode, you always say, hey, do you have any bad beats this week?
And you're like, I didn't have any.
I didn't even have any beats, really. You're like, I just won.
No, I smoked it. I mean, yeah. I had the Bengals everywhere. I mean, I had way too much money that I want to talk about in the Bengals. I had the Bengals on the money line. I had them plus 4.5. I had them plus 5. I had them plus 5.5. I had them on a 3-team teaser, which was our lock of the week last week. And that all hit. So, yeah, the Bengals came through big. There was really no doubt about that game. When they got up 14-0, it was not ball game, but essentially ball game, right?
Right, yeah.
You never felt like Buffalo was going to win that game, did you?
No, a lot of people did. I mean, there was a lot of live money on the Buffalo Bills, but, you know, we...
I never got that. That same thing would have happened the first time they played in Cincinnati.
It's the whole narrative of Buffalo at home in the snow, plus the DeMar Hamlin thing, and they're like, there's no way they can lose this game.
But the DeMar Hamlin thing, is it really a thing now? Because he's thankfully, prayers worked, medicine worked. It looks like he's fine now. Like,
right.
Like I just feel like he's fine. He's not like, you know, he's gonna play. It sounds like next year even. It sounds like they did the there's no pre-existing heart condition. It sounds like, knock on wood, they did a lot of testing. They think he's gonna be good and ready to go. I was reading an article about that. So that's what's interesting about that is people kept saying that all week. Like I kept hearing like some of the bettors and all look for narratives, right? And they're like, oh yeah, you can't bet against the DeMar Hamlin game. He's gonna fire him up. I'm like, he's fine. He's like. He's walking and, like, you know, like, he's fine.
I feel like there's a lot of surface level stuff like that that pointed to the Bills, but, like, as you dug deeper, like we did, you see that the Bengals, like the line, for instance, that was one, too, that we, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, the line is out for the Bengals. Three of the five linemen out. That's going to be, you know, terrible, but, like you pointed out, it's just the same line they had last year now, which they went to the Super Bowl with.
Yeah.
It's not great. Obviously, Burrow was getting pressured a lot last year, but. You know, it's still a line. It's still an NFL line.
And we're going to talk about that line because I've got some. I don't even know if I've told you this yet. I have quite a hot take on the Cincinnati Kansas City game that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Something that I don't even think I've told you yet, but it's something I'm very confident
in. I know your
in.
Opinion's been shifting through the week, so I'll be interested to hear.
Yeah, it has been shifting. But that's why people always ask me on Monday, and I'm like, well, I don't really want to tell you right now because I might change it because you have to spend time with each other. You have to look at the injury report. You have to look at the weather. You have to let things digest. You have to think about what you've seen. You know what I mean? You can't come up with answers usually that week early in the week.
Absolutely.
Although this week I will say I did pound both games on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I did lock in our lock of the week. I have a lot of money and the lock of the week's coming up in a bit. But let's talk about last week. Did you have a bad beat? Because I didn't have one.
Not really. I mean, I was kind of frustrated because I bet on, like, I saw James Cook's receiving prop was 9.5 yards.
Which
like,
should have been a layup.
I was like, oh, the guy gets like 3-4 receptions a week. This will be easy. Not even a target. And I was just like.
If you would have told me coming in that Cincinnati would like be up 2-3 scores the entire game and that Buffalo would be throwing 4 out of 5 plays in the second half, which I guess they do anyways. But if you would have told me that.
And then James Cook has no reception.
Yeah, and it's 9.5.
And it's Devin Singletary, who, if we remember earlier in the year, screwed you by not getting a catch. And he had like 4 this week.
Yep, there was, what game was that? That was against the Patriots. I had Devin Singletary, I think it was to catch, it was one pass.
Yeah.
I had him on a same game parlay. Because it was able to somehow it got the bet down to like the Bengal or the Bills at like -2.5 or something. I wanted to get the line down, so I put it in with that because I figured that was a lock. And Devin Singletary dropped an easy throw in that game. Never got another target. Meanwhile, James Cook, I think, had 7 catches that week.
Yeah.
And now the exact opposite. Like, if you would have told me coming into this game, they'll kill you with that game script and the over-under was 9.5, I would have been there right there with you, putting a lot of money on that. So that was just a bad. By the way, we'll talk about it. There's a prop that I really like the under on this week. Remind me when we get to the Eagles game.
Eagles prop, okay.
Okay, remind me because I will probably forget because my mind's all over the place today. Didn't take my ADHD medicine, probably because I don't have ADHD medicine, but I need it. All right, so let's talk about our three main takeaways. I'll start. I did an extra one. I did 4 this week.
Just trying to show me up on the show.
Just trying to
didn't
show
tell
you
me
up
ahead
a little
of
time
bit. Or
anything. Slacker over there. We need to
this
research.
Is all for contract negotiations. He's trying to make me look bad.
Yeah, that's right. And plus, you didn't. Because
I definitely have a contract.
You need
to
take the time. The time it took me to get the 4th one. You need to spend that time researching Pete Wentz.
Okay, we'll do.
So, number one, NFL playoffs. This is something that I think we all know this, but I think this game that I'm going to talk about is a specific example of it. Is that the NFL playoffs games come down to a few plays. More than ever. And let's talk about the Chiefs game in particular. Because before Patrick Mahomes had the high ankle sprain, it looked like he was going to just shred Jacksonville. Yeah. Like he looked like vintage Mahomes in that game. Like, I mean, I think the guy would have probably thrown 4 touchdowns. Is that an exaggeration?
No.
I mean, he had one early before that, the first drive. I think he would have had minimum 3. Yeah. It would have been a 325 to 350 and 4 touchdown type of performance.
Because didn't Henny have one? I mean, assume that would have been Mahomes.
So they would have had 3 anyways,
right,
And then, you know, that happened. So that's one play that could have swung the game easily. Just one play, right? One thing. One tiny margin of error. Then on the other side, Jacksonville, once this happened, had 3 plays that they could have potentially won this game outright. You go back, the play of the game to me that nobody talks about was the Chad Henne drive, and I think it was 1st and 10 or 2nd and 8 or something. The Chiefs were they got the ball on like the 2-yard line, remember?
Yeah.
And they'd gotten up to about the 30, and he had the ball deflected that could have easily been intercepted. Remember that play?
Yeah.
That to me was the biggest play of the game that Jacksonville did not secure that interception because they had the momentum. Mm-hmm. They would have been a short field. Mahomes is out now, as far as you know.
That's true. Your backup comes in, throws
he throws
pick,
an interception.
Like, oh,
they've got a short field. They're ahead if they score there. Like, that play to me, and then the Chiefs finished that drive, went down and scored a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that play to me, could have swung the entire game. We'll never know. That's one example there. They had two other plays. The Christian Kirk play would have been a 50-plus yard catch.
I don't know how he dropped that.
Possibly a touchdown if it's thrown perfectly. That's a massive play. And, of course, the fumble inside the four-yard line to Jamal Agnew there on the second-to-last drive of the game. Now, that one probably wouldn't have won the game because they were still down by two scores at that point.
But it was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, but like, let's say they get that play and then one of the other two. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like in these playoff games, bro, it really does come down to just a few things. So that's one takeaway is just remembering, you know, how much a small play, you know, butterfly effect crap. Have you ever seen The Butterfly Effect, by the way, the movie?
I'm familiar with it. I think so.
It's so good. It's with Ashton Kutcher. It's like where the premise is that like this movie starts with a quote that's like, it was once said.
Well, I'm familiar with The Butterfly Effect. I've seen some time travel movie where like the guy literally they go back in time and he accidentally steps on a butterfly and that's what changes.
Well, kind of. It's like that. But it's like the whole premise is that something that I do today, I left for work 30 seconds earlier. If I'd left later, I might have gotten killed in a car accident. And then I wouldn't have had a kid who went on to play in the major leagues who then had a kid who cured cancer. You know what I'm saying? Every little butterfly. It's a butterfly effect. Every small thing that each of us do affects somebody in like Russia. Something that we did today probably did somehow or potentially could. So that's the premise of the movie. So it's kind of the same thing. That's very deep for an NFL podcast. But anyway, the Eagles, I think, the second thing.
You want to talk about Free Will next, maybe?
We could talk about Free Willy. Great movie.
There you go. Yeah, either way. This is the perfect intersection of cinema and deep conversation.
That's right. I love that you just said cinema, by the way.
Cinema. Yeah. Dave was a big cinema guy. Checking him out every day at 4:30.
Okay, so the Eagles, I think, are better than you and I gave them credit for. All year, we knew the Vikings were frauds. We did pick the Vikings to win the NFC North, which we have to point out every single episode, podcast. Yep. It's in our contract. But the Eagles, I think, are also a lot better than you and I thought. I think it's time that I think we have been giving them props the last 6 weeks-ish.
Yeah.
This is a good freaking team, bro. I mean, they're tough. They're going to be very tough to beat. This is going to be a fascinating matchup this weekend with the 49ers because it's like strength against strength, right? It's running the football against a team that stuffs the run. So we'll talk about that game in a little bit. Third thing, Cincinnati looks like the team to beat in the AFC. I'm not saying they are the best team. I'm not saying they will beat the Chiefs. Will they? I have a strong take on this game. You're going to be surprised one way or the other. But they look like the team to beat right now. I mean, they're blowing through people. 27-10, just completely decimated Buffalo. Own the line of scrimmage on both sides. And then finally, Brock Purdy, bro, is all smoke and mirrors. Not all. That's not fair. Brock Purdy is getting away with a lot of smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. I mean, speaking of balls being deflected and not picked, or passes nearly being picked off, or he's slow in his reads. He gets happy feet. When he faces competent defenses, which he's only seen a couple of them, really. I mean, Dallas was the best defense by far.
Dallas is the best, and then this one might be better.
This one's going to be even better this week, right? And I know you could argue, but he sees the 49ers D in practice every day, and they're the best. Yeah, but that's different.
Practice squad guys mostly, too.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. They're not. Yeah, right. It's completely different. But you saw him struggle last week against the Cowboys. Is that a fair? Is struggle a fair word, or is that being a little too?
I don't know.
Dramatic?
I mean, I think he's put up some great stat lines, and it wasn't that. I don't know about struggle.
Okay, maybe that's a strong word. But
yeah, no,
he got fortunate. Let's put it that way. There was at least two interceptions that should have happened last week. I saw him just slow. The progressions are slow. I just think that these things combined could spell disaster this weekend, and we'll talk about that game in a bit. But now it's your turn. Takeaways, what you got?
Okay, yeah. So I kind of have one from each game. Also, I can just add a Chiefs one on.
Let's just do that, though. Let's go. That way we cover all four games.
Sure. So, yeah, for the Niners and Cowboys, I just have that Dak is a league average quarterback now.
Yeah.
I think that his first couple of years before the injuries and before the time had passed, he played really well, and it's kind of still he's coasting on that. But he's kind of like Zeke to me in that he's a little bit past his prime, but he's still that name. He's still like the Cowboy franchise face, and so he's getting a little too much credit there.
And don't underestimate how big of a loss Amari Cooper was for offense
for
either.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, a big wide receiver too like that is huge.
They're kind of like the Bills, right? They've got that marquee guy like Diggs versus Lamb and then a whole bunch of just Ham and Eggers. I mean, you got you know, Noah Brown and Michael Gallup or Gabe Davis and Cole Beasley. It's just kind of like guys.
Isaiah
They're
McKenzie's
just guys.
Back, yeah.
Yeah.
There was something Isaiah McKenzie tweeted, and I like clicked on his page the other day, and it was just like there were so many people tweeting at him being like, "You saw get off the Bills." Like, they do not like him, apparently.
Well, yeah.
But
Speaking of Bills, real quick, how about Diggs' temper tantrum?
Oh yeah, I know it's stupid. I mean, I get like, but he's kind of deflecting because he's like, well, how do you guys want me to be okay with winning? It's like, no, we just don't want you to walk out on your teammates in the locker room.
Yeah, walk out like in shoulder pads and yell at your quarterback so everyone in the freaking world can see it. Like
the same guy that you were hanging all over him on Thanksgiving, be like, I'm so thankful to work with him.
I mean, let me ask you a question right now while we're on the topic. I'm sorry, ADHD is so bad today. Let me ask you a question. Better quarterback, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow?
This year it's been Joe Burrow.
I'm still on the Allen camp. I added some nice arguments of people who disagreed with me on Twitter. I would still take Allen over Burrow, but I think Burrow has much better weapons around him. Look who Josh Allen
has.
That's true, yeah. His running back is Devin Singletary.
You saw the interview with the... Was it the Bills GM where he was talking about, you know, we'd love to have a Jamar Chase, but like, we're going to have to suck really bad to afford one, and I don't want to do that.
How dumb does that make him look, by the way? Yeah. They just got smoked by Jamar Chase, and, you know, it doesn't really make them look good because they didn't draft him that long ago. Yeah. It was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it's like less than 2 years ago. But yeah, see, I just think you look at the weapons.
I mean, it is a good point, though, that with them, and I think the other three quarterbacks in the that are still in, besides Mahomes, are all on their rookie contracts, which affords a lot more cap space to put weapons around them.
Yeah, but it's just like, I mean, Burrow has, Jamar Chase is I don't know if he's much better, but he's definitely better than Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, or in the P-Ryan combo, is much better than the Singletary and Cook combo.
Yeah.
I think it's a wash at tight end, probably. I think Knox is fine. Mm-hmm. Same with Hurst. But then at receivers, the other two receivers you got there, I mean, look at the twos and threes. You got T. Higgins, who'd be a number one probably on 24, 25.
I'll take him.
Versus Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
Not even close. You got Tyler Boyd versus
Isaiah McKenzie or Cole Beasley.
McKenzie or Beasley. Not even close.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's just like the weapons there are just,
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, keep going. That's the first two you've had.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So for the Bills, speaking of the Bills, they're just still kind of broken. I think their defense isn't what we thought it was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And that's twofold. I mean, they've lost a couple of people like Von Miller, who was the majority of their pass rush. One thing that you mentioned, I'm sure we'll talk about it more later on, is that like they were actually bottom five in pass rush when he was gone, which is crazy.
Yeah, the last, what, flip 6 weeks switch. Or whatever it is?
Yeah, but I think that it all stems from that Rams game week one, because the Rams were the defending Super Bowl champs. They were supposed to be like two of the best teams playing each other the first game of the year. Everybody was all excited, and they came out there and sacked Matt Stafford like six times and just ran all over the Rams, and everyone's like, man, this defense is the truth, this offense is the truth, everyone's been saying about
everyone
the MVP,
gave them the Super Bowl.
About the Super Bowl, it's all true.
And then when
it turns
the Chiefs,
out the Rams are just really bad.
Yeah. That was a Thursday night game, first game of the year. We had the Bills on that. I remember you and I.
We did. Yeah.
That was one of our first bets
Didn't
in Kansas.
Didn't know it'd be that easy, but yes.
That's one of our first bets in Kansas because it had just gone legal like a week earlier.
Mm-hmm. And then my third one, pretty much along with what you're saying, I don't see how the Eagles don't go to the Super Bowl. I think that they...
Shh, don't spoil it.
I'd spoil what? I'm just saying I think that they should win this game.
You haven't heard my take on this one yet.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe it's different. We'll see.
It's coming up, though.
All right.
There you go. Well, there you go. So any other thoughts from last week? I mean, I think as our awesome intern Amanda just pointed out, we should probably mention, too, that Tony Pollard broke his ankle last week. And that another butterfly effect.
Yeah.
I mean, well, how does that game change? You know, does San Francisco even win that game? With Tony Pollard's explosiveness and the fact that he makes plays, and that's not even close to the same offense without him.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And what was the margin in that game again?
Wasn't it seven? What was the margin? They won by seven.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Oh yeah, how about that great play to end the game?
Oh, that was awful. Poor Zeke getting trucked. He wasn't even eligible. They just put him there to get destroyed.
The best part is that they were so confident and so throwing up middle fingers on this play and so headstrong on this play that they lined up with it. San Francisco calls a timeout, and they still thought it was a great idea to stay in the same play formation out of it. It's like, oh, they called timeout because they saw it? Fine. This play is going to work.
That formation's like something I saw sometimes in high school football. Has that ever worked in the pros in any is it polecat? Is that what they call that a lot of times?
I have no idea. I've never seen the damn thing before. That's like Pee Wee stuff.
That's
like Little Giants. You may as well run the annexation of Puerto Rico. Remember that play? You've seen Little Giants, right? Have you seen it? Oh my gosh, you guys have both got to see.
No, I've seen it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, let's dig in here. You ready to get going for championship weekend? Your phone's going off right there.
Yeah, that was my alarm to send your girlfriend her invoices, but I did that earlier today, so we're good to go.
You sure that wasn't a booty call from your girlfriend?
No, it was an alarm.
Okay. Yeah. Making sure. Like a lunch happy hour.
Yeah.
Wink. All right, keep going. Let's
go. Right up. Yeah. Okay. So game one of two. We've got the Eagles -2.5 at home versus the 49ers. This one has not moved at all. We've expected both lines to move a lot. The other ones have been all over the place. This one has stayed pretty solid.
Technically, it opened at 2 on Sunday night, but it's been 2.5 since Monday morning. You're correct.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah. Not as much movement, at least.
Yeah. Which surprises me. I thought for sure this was heading towards 3.5 by kickoff, and it still could, I suppose.
Yeah, juice is a little bit on the Eagles side, so it could go to 3.
What's the over-under in this game?
Over-under is 46.5.
So let's start there. 46.5 in this game. Let's talk about when you're betting over-unders, whatever the hell you say. Over-unders and or playing DFS, kind of the same thing. You're thinking about game script in your head, right? How do we see this game going? Well, let's talk about how you and I both see this game going here. You know, let's start with 2.5. I lied. 2.5 points, I don't see any freaking possible way the Eagles don't cover this game. Mm-hmm. I started off on Monday morning a little bit more pro 49ers, and then I started just thinking about this. There's so many factors. So it's strength versus strength, first of all. The concern if you're betting on the Eagles is, will they be able to run the ball? The answer is maybe. Leaning no, but possibly. I don't think the Niners have seen, in fact, I know the Niners haven't seen a quarterback like Jalen Hurts all year.
Was it, they faced the Bears early and they,
yeah,
was,
and they lost.
I mean, but Fields wasn't, yeah, they, for one, they lost.
they did lose.
But then on top of that, Fields wasn't really in his, like,
he was just his first game, wasn't it?
Yeah, he wasn't running for 100 yards.
It was his first game, so he was kind of getting going. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is Jalen Hurts is so far superior to Justin Fields, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the whole deal.
We can threaten you on the pass game more, so it makes you have to stay
so
more.
So stuffing
honest.
The run is kind of different than, like, stuffing the RPO, right? Mm-hmm. Like, having a not-that-mobile quarterback hand the ball off or run pitches or a few misdirections, like, that's different than trying to stop an RPO when Jalen Hurts has 3 options. Another thing, running the ball in this game could be as simple as Jalen Hurts dropping back to throw and then just taking off with his own legs.
Yeah.
It is very tough. But with that said, the Niners, Fred Warner, I love him. I think he's my favorite linebacker. Maybe my favorite defensive player in the NFL. I love watching this guy play. He's back there covering, you know, wide receivers on posts, mm-hmm. you know, like running step for step. He's stuffed on the run. Hard-nosed player. This whole defense is good. Elite at stopping the run. We talked about it the last couple of weeks. You can occasionally pop the Niners for maybe 1 or 2 big rushes per game, but mm-hmm. they're going to stuff you. It's 2 yards of play pretty much all the time, as the Cowboys found out the majority of last week. This game, though, is a little different to me because Hurts just adds such a different dimension to this game. Mm-hmm. Just because he's so mobile and he can still run even if it's not necessarily the traditional. I mean, I don't think the prop I was going to tell you about. I love the under and Miles Sanders combined yards. It was like receiving and passing. The last I saw it was 66.5. For one thing, Miles Sanders is only going to get probably 60% of the work in the backfield in this game. Maybe less, you know, in this game.
Especially if they get up and they're trying to keep every, I guess they got a couple
weeks. And then they rotate him so much, though. Yeah. I mean, it's like Sanders gets 3 or 4 touches, and then Scott gets 3 or 4, then Gainwell.
Yeah.
So for one thing, he's not going to ever be a bell cow, especially right now. But I just don't think they can just do traditional runs in this against these guys. It's going to have to be a lot of – this is going to be a game where if the Eagles win this game, which they're going to, spoiler alert, it's going to be a lot of Jalen Hurts with his legs in the pocket. It's going to be a lot of deep shots because the one place you can against the 49ers exploit them is at the back. We've seen both Wards, for as good as Chartravius has been, him and Jimmy have both been struggling recently. There are places that you can get them deep. I think A.J. Brown and or Devontae Smith has a monster game here. I think they're going to have to take shots. So from a game flow perspective, the reason I brought that up, the game script, is I see the Eagles having to throw more than they'd like to, but I see them actually being pretty successful mm-hmm. because they have to spy Jalen Hurts because if they're going to get some one-on-ones throughout the field. And don't underestimate either how massive it is having Goddard back for that team the last few weeks because that's a big deal for them. So I do think the Eagles are going to be able to score points here. Now, are they going to be one of the top? All year they've been top 3, top 2, even the number 1, depending on what metric you look at, offense in the NFL. Do I think they're going to light up San Francisco for 30 here? I don't. Do I think the Eagles are going to hit 20? I do. I mean, I think the Eagles are going to score 24 points in this game, 26, 27, ends up some random number like that. And let's talk about the other side of the ball, Killian, when you've got Brock Purdy out there. I mean, this is a guy that you and I both think has gotten fortunate, right, throughout the year. Like, when he played, he hasn't played that many good defenses. Go back and look who he's played.
Right, yeah.
He was maybe struggling, was a little bit harsh last week. Maybe I'm being a little unfair on that. Did not look that good, though. It had a couple, had even had both of those balls that could have been and maybe should have been intercepted happened. the whole narrative would have been different about him. The whole game probably would have been different.
I guess struggle is a little bit fair. He went 19 for 29 for 214 yards, no touchdowns.
And should have had a couple picks, right? So this Eagles defense will be the best he's seen. It's on the road, by the way. Mm-hmm. So at least he got the Cowboys at home. It's going to be, I mean, letting these, you know, our Philadelphia friends, you know, it's a later start past 2 o'clock. They're going to be hammered. They're going to be liquored up.
Oh,
they're going to be ready for this game. It's going to be just a fantastic atmosphere. I think they will be able to get home on him and cause a couple of turnovers. I think those inevitable that they're going to get a couple of turnovers. So if you're playing DFS this week, I'm rocking everywhere the Eagles defense. That's the defense I'm playing. I don't want to touch a defense in the Chiefs Bengals game, and I don't really want to take the Niners defense that is more expensive in DFS. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to rock and roll. That's one DFS play for you right there. It's a free square. Take the Eagles defense. I think it's a long day for him. Here's another couple factors, more reasons besides what I just said. I don't think that Purdy, I mean, he really struggled to even get, how much did they get? Did he end up getting 20 in that game? How many points did they have in that game? 17?
19.
So they struggled to get 19 at home against a defense that's not as good as the Eagles. Now they're on the road. I don't see how they hit the 24 that Philadelphia has as their floor. I just don't. And there is a chance. I said that I don't see the Eagles scoring 30. The way that they do score 30 and wax these guys is if there's turnovers. And so if Purdy starts turning it over like we think he could, and some of them are short fields, they could freaking wax them. Mm-hmm. So the smart money here, the absolute layup, I can't believe the line is staying at 2.5. If it's still 2.5 when you're hearing this, please go put it in for yourself. The Eagles absolutely cover the 2.5. Conversely, I'd probably more stay away from the 46. I guess if I had to, I'd go over. You see, unders went, I think every game went under last weekend, by the way.
Yeah, after going
after 5-1 the first week.
Exactly.
It was 5-1 on the overs the first week of the playoffs, and then we talked about that, remember?
Yeah.
We said they were going to compensate and raise them a few points,
absolutely.
And they did. So in this game, DFS-wise, I love A.J. Brown. I think some big plays are coming. A couple other reasons. Let me finish off on that. I love A.J. Brown. I would not play Hurts. If I'm going to play a quarterback from the Chiefs and Bengals game, so I'm not playing too many guys in this game. I think the other game is going to shoot out. I think this game is a little bit more quiet. So I'm probably on the Eagles side, maybe Goddard. I like Goddard quite a bit. DFS-wise, I'm on Goddard and Brown this week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Devontae Smith is the guy. I think it's Brown and Goddard. Other side of the ball and the Eagles defense. Other side, I'm not really on the Niners except maybe Debo. Assuming he's good, but a couple more reasons I should mention before.
Kittle's the guy that always every week.
Kittle's a great play too.
With Purdy at least.
A couple other things I should mention before I let you talk, because I've been talking for a long time.
You're good.
Is that San Francisco's won 12 games in a row.
Yep.
That's not how this works in the NFL. You don't rattle off 14 wins in a row to win the Super Bowl. So I hate to use the word the old gambler's fallacy do, but they are due for a loss. That's too many wins in a row, bro.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a lot of injuries here. I mean, they have a lot of injuries.
Like a lot of banged up people that are going to play.
Yeah. I mean, they're all going to play. I mean, don't be fooled. Like Christian McCaffrey didn't practice yesterday. Debo Samuel didn't practice yesterday. Who was the other one? Was it Ayuk? Somebody else was out yesterday, too.
Yeah, I want to say it was Ayuk.
I mean, we saw McCaffrey last week in the second half. Oh, Elijah Mitchell didn't practice either. Oh, we saw McCaffrey, though, in the second half last week with that calf injury, barely playing. He hardly played.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if one or two of those guys, McCaffrey, Mitchell, and Debo, if one of them can't go or is really banged up and limited, it's going to be even tougher for this team. I just don't see any possible way they're going into Philly and winning the game.
Yeah.
Pound the Eagles minus 2.5. Your turn. What do you got to add?
Yeah, with you on that 100%. Real quick, while you were talking, I saw an update. The Panthers are hiring Frank Reich as their new head coach.
Really?
Yeah. So
straight from, kind of sad. I thought Wilkes was going to get that job.
Straight from Indy to Carolina. But
why don't they just hire Steve Wilkes? He did good.
I don't know.
Huh.
But yeah, so he was. He didn't have to go be an OC or anything. He just straight to another head coaching job.
Speaking of Indy, is it bad that I hope that they hire Eric Bieniemy as the head coach? It's down to him and Jeff Saturday, supposedly.
How are they going to hire Jeff Saturday?
I don't know. He's getting a second interview today.
Also, Bieniemy's interviewed for so many head coaching jobs and not gotten one. It's kind of suspicious. But
don't you almost at some point think it's like people just do it like because they have to interview a certain number of candidates? Like the fact that he's been interviewed for like 16 jobs and I was like, I mean, it's weird. It's a very odd situation because he's by all accounts beloved by Reed. You know, he's had consistent employment here and been a part of championship teams, 5 straight, you know, AFC championships, et cetera, et cetera. Working with arguably
Some people say that like Mahomes and him don't get along, and you see some of that on the sidelines. I don't know how true it is, but
it's a very fascinating dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But yeah, do you see any way the Niners win this game? I mean, the counterpoint to what I just said?
To go back to this, no, I'm with you on pretty much all of it. The one thing that you said that I really liked and kind of had down myself was that I think this will be a big game for the receivers over the top, because one thing that I heard that I didn't know, 49ers top of almost every category for defense, their bottom five in throws down the field to 20 yards or more.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Jalen Hurts is the most accurate quarterback this year on throws down the field to 25 yards or more. So I think he lights him up there if he does it. I think they probably do stay away from the run. I like the Eagles a lot here. I think that the defense is going to be one of the tougher ones that the 49ers have faced. We just talked about how the Cowboys aren't quite as good as we thought, so this probably is one of the other best defenses in the league, definitely the best one they've faced. I think that Brock Purdy has some of those troubles. We talked about how he's been really lucky with just like some of the turnovers that should have happened and haven't. The balls that fall harmlessly to the ground when there's defenders around, that probably shouldn't happen. Surely there's some regression there. Surely he turns the ball over a couple times. If he keeps playing like he did last week. I think it's fair that he struggled a little bit based on what you said. He didn't have any touchdowns. He threw for right around 200 yards.
A couple of near picks.
Yeah,
and he's got guys banged up around him. Mm-hmm. He's got, going on the road. They won 12 in a row. It's just like everything points to the Eagles in this game. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, it almost scares me how easy it seems.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's funny is my buddy Devin's a big Eagles fan, and him and I were talking. He texts me on Sunday. He's like, what do you think about this? And I go, I got to think about it for a few days. And I thought this game was going to take me to like Wednesday or Thursday. And I saw him Monday morning, and he's like, what do you think? And I go, I'm kind of leaning Eagles. I just got to think a little bit more. Within an hour, I was in Kansas betting lots of money on the Eagles.
Yeah, I think you called me.
It just clicked. Like, it was just like, I'm like, I'm getting way too cute here. I don't need to overthink this game. This is not a game you have to overthink. Just take the Eagles. It's everything points to them. And by the way, one last thing on this game. I think, and talking about quarterbacks, I think it's a bit offensive that Jalen Hurts does not get mentioned in that top four. I mean, everyone else says the top tier is Allen, Mahomes, and Herbert. Or not Herbert, Burrow.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people do think that Herbert's right there. And then maybe some people might bring up Hurts at five. I think it's unfair. I think Hurts is in that same tier, but I think people are about to see it this week. The guy is not Lamar Jackson, and he's better than Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't care what people say. Maybe Lamar Jackson's a 10% better runner than Jalen Hurts, but Lamar Jackson can only dream to throw that well. Jalen Hurts can throw the ball. He's good.
We haven't seen Jalen Hurts go through the same like streaks though either. Like there'll be times where Lamar Jackson's on like a hot streak. He's playing really great, and then he'll have some bad weeks. Like Jalen Hurts has been very consistent, or he's been injured.
Yeah. I
think that kind of gave us some perspective on the Eagles too, to watch Gardner Minshew, this guy that we say is probably one of the top 5-10 backups in the league.
For sure.
Absolutely. I could have started maybe over Trevor Lawrence. There's a case before the season, now. But anyway, go in there and just get decimated with that same Eagles team. It really kind of put in perspective what a great year Jalen Hurts is having.
And it maybe shows even a little bit how good the Eagles offense is, that the week before that, even with him, they lit up the Cowboys.
Right.
And it's also kind of not a great look for the Niners.
Yeah.
When they played that same Cowboys defense, it could barely do anything. One other thing I'll say, narrative-wise, so I'm not one of these people that believes in scripts in the NFL. Oh, it's all set up. It's all scripted.
Is this about the Kelce Bowl or no?
Huh?
Is this about the Kelce Bowl or no?
No, well, kind of. But I will say, let me just ask you, throw out the script thing. What matchup do you think the NFL wants? Like, if Goodell could choose, I think it's Chiefs-Eagles just because of, the Kelce Bowl. The Kelce's, thing. The Andy Reid came from Philly.
Yeah.
Then you have Nick Sirianni, who used to coach in Kansas City back when Todd Haley was here. So you've got that Philly-Kansas City connection. I think it'd be great for the NFL to have two African-American quarterbacks squaring off in the Super Bowl. I think that'd be fantastic. That's never happened before. So, do you think it is like the Eagles-Chiefs is what they want?
Yeah, probably. The Eagles is the team that hasn't been to the Super Bowl for the longest. So I'd say them for sure. I mean, Kansas City's been a lot in the last couple of years. Bengals went last year. Niners, been a couple of times. As far as...
Or do you think they don't care about the AFC because they're fine either way on that? I feel like it's the Eagles and the NFC.
The Eagles are important. I think they need to get in. Yeah.
And then in the AFC, do they just don't care? Either way, they're happy?
For all the story and stuff, the Chiefs would be better because of the Kelce's, because of Andy Reid and Sirianni, like you said. I don't know if we're getting into that kind of stuff. Like, is Kansas City a bigger market team? I know they're both fairly small market teams. Yeah.
Slightly.
Yeah.
Like,
I know they're both in the bottom third.
I know in MLB, there's only two markets smaller than Kansas City. It's Milwaukee and Cincinnati.
Mm. So, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. But I think you're right. Probably those two would be the best for the NFL.
Okay. All right, so we're both on. Do you have a lean here before we get to the next game? Do you have a lean on the over-under in this game? I think it's close. I think it's a pretty good line.
I'm gonna lean under by just a bit. I think you're just a bit over, but I don't know. Like you said, I think that if the Eagles do put up 30, like you said, and it comes down to all those turnovers that Brock Purdy might have, then they're not going to put up more than like 14. And so I think that it's a pretty good line. But
that's a good way to put it.
But I'm going to say that it goes just under.
But you agree the -2.5 is a much better bet, right?
Absolutely.
Like I would just bet the -2.5. Mm-hmm. Like just put it in.
Yep.
Okay. Next game. We only have one more game. I pine for the days like 3 weeks ago when we used to have 16 games to talk about.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Man, I miss those days. They were so long ago.
Yeah. Just got to wait till September to get it back.
September 8th or something like that. It's going to be a while.
Well, anyway, like I said, this is the line that's been moving all over the place. What we've currently got is the Chiefs at home -1 against the Bengals over under a 47.5.
So it opened up as Kansas City. It was 2.5, right? And then it went down to 2, and then 1.5. And then it swung from 1.5 to, like the Bengals -1.5. It was like a 2-point jump. And then it got as high as 2.5 there for a minute.
Yeah.
And now we're back to the Chiefs being favored. Where does this line end? Just a pick, you think? Like, straight up?
So,
or do you think it stays on the Chiefs now?
The juice is pretty even now.
Since Mahomes is practicing in full, does it just stay where it's at?
Probably. The juice looks like it's slightly on the Chiefs, but I can see it coming back down just a tiny. Maybe I'm going to say it finishes Chiefs favored between a half point and a point and a half. So basically a pick 'em.
Okay. So basically it doesn't. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this game. Both sides. So let's start here with the. What's the over under this, by the way?
47.5.
Just go over.
Yeah.
I mean, you just absolutely pound the over in this game. Yeah. The over in this game is the. Probably the second best bet of the weekend. Probably the Eagles -2.5 is the best bet. Probably the over is high here, the second best, but there's also another bet in this game. There's a team that I really like in this game. But let's talk about the quote-unquote Achilles heels for both teams. Like, what are the things that could go wrong here? Well, number one, obviously the most obvious is Patrick Mahomes
heel.
Dealing with the high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
And we should also know, and then from the Bengals side, we should talk about their offensive line. They're still -3 offensive linemen. Okay, they played last week without him. I get that. But I want to talk to you real quick. There's so much to talk about this game. So the whole stupid Burrow head. I mean, first of all, Patrick Mahomes has got to feel just massively disrespected.
Yeah.
You got the Bengals players on the sideline. Yeah, we'll see a Burrow head, man. We're coming to Burrow head to win a Burrow head. Okay, you guys have been here once. You went here once. Like, it's one time. Right. Like, let's not act like you've won here over and over again. It's disrespectful. I know Patrick does not like being 0-3 against Burrow. I know Patrick does not like people, the prognosticators now saying that he's behind Joe Burrow. And I know Patrick doesn't like the thought of not going to the Super Bowl for the second straight year and losing at home to the Bengals. So let's talk about the 3-0 Bengals versus the Chiefs, okay?
Okay.
First of all, in these games, the Chiefs are 0-3, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In these games, the Chiefs, during the games, have led by, the first game they were up by 18. Last year they were up by 14,
mm-hmm.
and they've also been up by 7 this year. So in the three losses, three separate games, in each of those three games, at one point they were up by 18 in one of the games, one point they were up by 14 in one of the games, by 7, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have been ahead going into the fourth quarter in all three of the games. The Chiefs have never been behind with 15 minutes left in the fourth quarter, okay, in these three losses. The Chiefs have trailed for an average of 14 minutes per game.
Mm-hmm.
So 46 of the 60 minutes, they were either tied or ahead.
Yep.
And the Chiefs have trailed for only an average of 7 minutes and 52 seconds in the second half of these games, meaning it gets away from them like in the last 8 minutes or mm-hmm. something like that.
Basically, the Bengals do to us what we do to everybody else.
Yeah. So these games don't let them. This has not been domination. The Chiefs easily.
Right. I think everyone's been a 3-point margin, right?
Yeah. The Chiefs could have won it. And even this year, so let's go back to earlier in the season. The Chiefs, the last time they lost a game was to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
It was week 13, and the Chiefs lost the game, like you said, by 3 points, 27-24. Why did they lose that game? A few reasons. One of which is Travis Kelce fumbled.
Mm-hmm.
Had he not fumbled, they were at midfield and first down, driving down the field, about to go up by 2 scores when he fumbled. And that was, I think, late in the third quarter or something like that. I forget the exact timing of that. Also in that game, there was no Kadarius Toney.
Mm-hmm.
Also in that game, there was no Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman is going to play this week, by the way. So the Chiefs will have their full allotment of offensive weapons. They are bringing back Jody Fortson, your boy.
My boy.
Your boy.
So not, not as much as the Chiefsaholic.
But... Hey, and speaking of which, the Chiefs are undefeated since he went to jail.
Wow. Yeah.
So he needs to just stay in jail
I saw
forever.
A tweet from Braden Turner the other day. It was like, last time the Bengals were here, was it the Chiefsaholic put 80 racks on them to win?
Yeah.
I wonder how much he would put on this one.
Well, it depends what kind of banks he robbed before that.
That's true.
But no, so those are just things. I want people to know that when you hear these people talking, especially Cincinnati side, that they've dominated this matchup. Yeah, they're 3-0, but the Chiefs have been ahead going into the fourth quarter in all three games and been ahead by double figures in two of the three games.
Yeah.
And this year, if Kelce doesn't fumble, they win that game, right? So some other things. The Achilles heels in this game, the offensive line for the Bengals. Let's talk about that. Let's start there, in fact. The Chiefs on defense versus the Bengals on offense. So we heard about it. You and I talked about it last week. We heard it all week that, you know, the Bengals were five and a half is when it closed at 5.5, but it got to 6 for a minute. They were 5.5-point dogs at Buffalo last week because of the offensive line. If the offensive line's healthy, that's probably Buffalo minus 3 or 3.5, right? So magically, somehow, the line is now, you know, a 5-point difference, according to the public, or 6-point difference, depending on when you bet it, because they played 1 week and had no trouble with Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Well, what did we talk about a few minutes ago? What did you bring up?
Yeah.
The fact that since whenever Von Miller went out, it was around week 13-ish.
Right.
They're bottom five in the NFL in pass rush, I think third to last.
Which is crazy.
So just the Bills are not getting to the quarterback anyways. Yeah. That's not what they do. So people are like, oh, the Bengals held up fine against the Bills. This offensive line... They dominated the line of scrimmage. The Chiefs are screwed. You know, Mahomes is hurt. The Bengals' offensive line is not a big issue. Well, Buffalo does not rush the pass well. They haven't done it for weeks. And they had a great game plan. The elements weren't good there. So are people all of a sudden, are the Bengals good at defending the pass? Or, I'm sorry, blocking, pass blocking? Are they all of a sudden good at blocking, like in the pass game, just because they had one good game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably not.
I mean, they've still got an unproven left tackle who has, what, one start, two starts in the NFL, rookie left tackle. Mm-hmm. You know, the right side's banged up here. Like, this is last year's line, if not a little bit worse. Now they come into Arrowhead. Sorry, it's not Burrowhead. Take my middle finger. You're coming into Arrowhead here. Good luck. Good luck with Chris Jones, who's just itching and dying for that playoff sack. Good luck with Frank Clark. Good luck with Steve Spagnuolo knowing what you're doing. The Chiefs have dynamic playmakers at linebacker that they can do some things with. You know, I really like their linebackers. They played horrible, by the way, in the first game against Cincinnati. But Bolton and Gay, studs, right? So this Chiefs defense, I think, is going to be able to get home in this game. I think this is going to be more of the Burrow getting sacked 4, 5, 6 times that we saw a lot of last year. And if you look at the matchups, the Chiefs have not gotten home. I'm fully aware of that. They have not had a pass rush against Burrow, and that's a big part of the problem here. I think they get home in this game. They're going to cause at least one turnover. I don't think this offensive line is going to hold up. It's going to be a lot more P. Ryan in there because he's the pass blocker. Mm-hmm. Joe Mixon cannot really block. And if he has to stay back and block, that's going to be one less dynamic guy. You know, maybe he chips and then goes out after, but that's going to be one less guy to worry about. So will the Chiefs be able to stop Ja'Marr Chase? No. Will the Chiefs be able to stop T. Higgins? No. Will they stop the Bengals offense? No. But they don't have to. They need to slow him down, hold him in the upper 20s. And whoever hits 31st is going to win this game. I think both teams have like a 24-point floor in this game, which is why you just pound the over if you're going to take anything. If you're taking an over-under this whole weekend, it's this one and it's the over. So I don't think the Chiefs are able. I think they'll be able to slow down Joe Mixon just enough. They have been running the ball. I think they're averaging like 6 yards a carry against the Chiefs these last three games or something to that effect. They've been rushing the ball very well against the Chiefs. Spagnuolo will have the team ready. And then when the Chiefs have the ball, on the other side, Coach Lou there, defensive coordinator for the I always botched his last name, but the D coordinator who should get a head coaching job in the near future for the Bengals, loves to mix it up, and he kind of does have Patrick's number, but the Chiefs are ready for this offensively. They're going to have their full allotment of receivers. I think Hartman's actually a pretty big deal to have him back in there because that takes Sky Moore out of there. Like, we saw Sky Moore play approximately 50 to 55% of snaps last week, and you never really think he's going to do anything. So getting Hardman back is a nice boost. Jody Fortson, because I do hear that the whole game plan, and the Bengals have been able to slow down Kelce in past matchups, and I heard the whole game plan is just double him, abuse him. So hopefully the rest will give the Chiefs some calls for the holds, the inevitable legal contacts that are coming. I don't know how much they'll play Fortson. But this is the kind of guy that could have a big game, a sneaky big game. To me, though, Killian, this is a Juju Smith-Schuster game. We have not heard his name in quite a while, much. Hasn't had a big game in a while. I think this is a Juju Smith-Schuster game. And I think the Chiefs are really going to focus on running the football in this game. They're going to see a lot of the two highs. I think you're going to be able to get Pacheco going in this game. And if it does get to the point where they have to throw a lot, obviously, McKinnon's the blocker. How about that block he threw last week, by the
way?
Oh,
yeah.
God, he's good. I think both teams are not able to stop the other offense. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take the team playing at home. I am 80% on the Chiefs in this game. I have an 80% chance that they win this game. They're not coming out dropping 2 years in a row. Patrick Mahomes, his ankle, from all reports, full practice yesterday, appears to be pretty good. He says he's good to go. He said it's not near as bad as the turf toe he's dealt with. They will shoot him up with some stuff before the game. Hopefully his eyes aren't glossy. Hopefully he's not falling asleep. Hopefully he's not giggling.
They don't give him the Aaron Rodgers treatment.
Yeah, hopefully he's not giggling, looking into the sky, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. No, I think the Chiefs are going to be able to come out. You're giving Andy Reid a full week, even if he is limited. He's going to know how limited he is. A full week to plan for this, get the playbook to where he wants it. He's the best play-calling guy in the NFL. They ain't going to 0-4. This is like a Michael Jordan game, like the Michael Jordan flu game, right? This is like Mahomes' ankle game. Apparently, he's been in the stadium about 17 hours a day this week. He's only going home to sleep because he's getting treatment. He's watching film. This is Michael Jordan in the NFL. This is a guy who will his team to victory here. The key will be the Chiefs' defense, the pass rush. That's the whole key to this game. I think they'll be able to get home against this banged-up offensive line that people somehow think is cured after one week somehow, and they just forgot that it happened. No one's talking about that now. I guess it's only about Mahomes' injury now. The Chiefs win this game, brother.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to say Karlaftis gets a sack this week. That's what I'm calling for. But I like them being able to get home. It's crazy to think about based on what we saw earlier this season, but the Chiefs' pass rush is better than the Bills. It's pretty objectively so. We've got a lot of guys up there that are going to give them problems. The run was a little concerning from the Bengals last week, the yards that Mixon was able to put up, but like you talked about, I mean,
they control the line both sides.
Yeah, the Bills, I mean, their defense isn't what it was, especially up front.
No, it's not even close. It's not the first half of the year Bills defense.
Right, not at all.
This is probably the Bills are probably a league average defense, probably. And that's probably what the Chiefs are, too. The Chiefs have actually been an above average. I think they're 12th in DVOA since coming out the bye, so they've been playing slightly above average, but I mean, I actually think the Chiefs' defense is better right now than the Bills, to be honest with you, just because I think they can get home in the pass rush better. They've got a more dynamic player, Chris Jones, obviously, up front.
Yeah, we got a great linebacking core, like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Our DBs are getting better. But DBs are going to have to really hold up, of course. Like we talked about, this is one of the deepest receiving cores in the league, probably the deepest right now. And, I mean, that's going to be a challenge for them. But if we can get the pass rush going, obviously it makes it easier on them getting Burrow hurried up. just a little side note, what is so impressive about Joe Burrow spinning when he throws a pass? I can do that.
People are obsessed with him. It's going to be so glorious seeing him lose.
But that's the thing is, like, I don't have anything against Joe Burrow. I think I kind of like the guy, but like it's just crazy how he's like the darling of America and everybody hates Mahomes. It's just like
it's Burrowhead, dude.
Yeah.
Well, you pointed, I think it was you yesterday, you pointed out the reason they hate Mahomes is because of his family.
Well, yeah, so
which is unfair.
Well, anybody, like, I mean, look at LeBron, who like has, you know, his family you never hear from except for, you know, his kids are now really good at basketball and going to the NBA. But like he's the star of the NBA and like he's never really much for controversy. He'll speak out on political stuff every once in a while, but like people are still always looking for a reason to hate him as the best and like to say that he's not the best. And that goes back to the, you know, the sportscasters too and stuff, who are like, they can't just say the same thing that everyone else is saying about, oh, he's the best. But like it's just kind of frustrating to see it year after year, him held to such a high standard, and when he has, you know, really annoying wife and brother who are always on social media just making fools of themselves, it gives people that reason. It's their past to not like him.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah.
Great kid, great teammate.
Yeah.
And the best quarterback in the NFL. People are about to find that out again.
Absolutely.
I mean, he has to keep teaching him over
and
over again.
Did you ever read that article I sent you?
Which one?
The one where he's just talking about how great Mahomes was for like 15 minutes, but with compelling numbers.
Yes, I did read that, actually. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I wasn't sure if you were talking about that one or the Hustler article you sent me. I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, he never sent me one of those. I'm just joking about
Which
that.
Which Hustler article?
Yeah, right. So DFS-wise this weekend, in this game, Joe Burrow is my quarterback.
Yeah.
Just because of the salary savings.
I was thinking of that as we were going through the games. And yeah, it's a clear-cut decision.
Joe Burrow is your DFS quarterback. There's some locks for me this week. It's the Eagles defense. Joe Burrow is my DFS quarterback. An interesting choice. You're playing Joe Mixon because of the price. He's in your lineups. You're playing Jamar Chase. He's in your lineups. If you can get Kelsey, I'm still playing him. I'm fine with Kadarius Toney here or Hardman to save some salary there.
That's another thing, too, is like, have we had a game where Toney and Hardman have played together yet? I don't think we have. Because, like, I mean, they're different players, but they kind of are both those tool guys that we can get the ball behind the line of scrimmage and have him run jets and stuff.
Well, you
and
know, like, the two that Kadarius Toney went to Florida as a quarterback, so he can throw the ball. So that's what I'm saying. Andy's going to have some fun with both of those two.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's a good point that you just made right there. They've not been on the field together.
Just they're both kind of those tool players that you can just get them the ball on a screen and, like, let them go, and they'll make something happen. And to have one of those on both sides of the field and to get motion going and all the weird wrinkles that Andy throws in, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
The question this weekend for DFS is, who are you paying up for? Because this could be a double tights type week, you know, where you get Goddard and Kelsey. But is this – what do you do with Christian McCaffrey? Because he's so expensive, we don't know what the workload's going to be because of the calf. We assume he's going to get the majority of the snaps, and he's going to power through. It's the NFC Championship.
Right.
And it could be a glorious game script if they get up big and just dump off to McCaffrey. But then again, it could be glorious for Debo and Kittle and Ayuk, like you mentioned. Where are you? How important do you think it is to get into DFS lineups McCaffrey versus a Kelsey, let's say?
I don't know. I might stay away just because of the injury. Like, I'm sure that, like, you know, in a normal season, if he's playing this week, it means that there's a low risk of re-injury. But where we are now, it might not be the case, but he's just playing because it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's the last game, probably. So he could go down mid-game, and that's always going to be awful for you. But, yeah, the game script we see of them throwing a lot, of course, they're going to be looking downfield, but there will be some dump-offs to McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I'd probably stay away this week with how expensive he is. And
would you go Kelsey if you had to pick one or the other for the similar
probably
salary?
Probably so. And I mean, like you said, the Bengals, they really have been good at locking him down. But, like, if you look at his playoff numbers, like,
they're insane.
The dude never misses 100 yards. It's like a free money bet.
I know. Like, again, I hate the whole due thing, though. Like, it's due for a bad
kid.
But, yeah.
As we always talk about, there's two ways to look at everything. You can be like, this is a trend, it will continue.
Yeah,
or you can be like, this has been happening for too long, it's going to have to reverse.
Or it's fool's gold.
Yeah, so, it's whatever side you bet on. You can then give yourself some nice head talk.
So you and I both agree that it's the Chiefs versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Kelsey Bowl's coming. I like it.
Okay.
Just in time, the New Heights podcast started this year. And
that's
then
right.
Do the thing. It's all
coming together.
It's all
man.
Coming together.
The guy on YouTube said it's all scripted, dude. You see, Carl Cheffers is a Super Bowl referee,
yeah, I don't
by
love
the way.
That. I did see that, actually.
That's not great for the Chiefs.
Yeah,
but
I got to get there first.
We'll worry about
not
that.
A big fan, yeah.
Yeah, we'll worry about that when we get there. Yeah. Before we turn the page to the lock of the week here, real quick, are there any props up? Do we have the props up, player props for these games? Because
let me take a look.
I'd love to go over some props here. If
yeah,
there
we
are.
We do. What do you want to see? Passing?
Let's do passing, rushing, and receiving. Just give me a few from each.
All right. Brock Purdy's over-under is at 218.5.
I think they're going to have to throw a lot. I'll still go under in this one.
Okay.
I think it's close. What about you?
I'll take the over. He hit about 200 last week, and I think
the game script will set up,
have to
I guess.
Throwing, yeah. And probably like a McCaffrey breaks loose for like 20 or 30 right
That's
there.
That's true. Or
Debo. He gets a couple chunk plays.
Debo has some 50-yard.
Right, yeah. And then Jalen Hurts over 247.5.
I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, I'll take the over too.
All right. Running back, what's Sanders at and McCaffrey for rushing right now?
I clicked on a promo. Dang it, FanDuel.
Don't blame FanDuel for your user operating
that's
error.
That's true. All right, rushing props. McCaffrey over under 59.5.
Give me the under on that.
I like
for
it.
Sure.
I like
that's
under
a great under.
Yep. Miles Sanders is at 50.5.
Under.
Yeah, probably take the under. Jalen Hurts 46.5.
Over. Because I think he'll scramble.
Yeah.
Do the Eagles have to run the ball to win this game?
I don't think so. Not heavily. I think that they do it over the top, like I said. Kenneth Gainwell, 11.5. That's an interesting one.
I'll go over on that.
I think I like the over too.
I think he comes
takes
in at the end when they're ahead.
Carries, yeah.
Like last week and breaks the 40-yard touchdown run when I had Miles Sanders as my DFS. Actually, that was my bad beat last week. I had Miles Sanders as my DFS running back, and we had Boston Scott got a touchdown, Gainwell got 100 a touchdown, Hurts got a touchdown, Miles Sanders 90 yards and no touchdowns.
That was I had one like that last week too. Remember I had the four-leg touchdown parlay, and I hit Goddard, I hit Hurts, I hit the third one was kind of long shot. I can't remember. But then the one that didn't hit was Saquon Barkley couldn't get a touchdown. And it's because Matt Burita freaking vultured it.
Yeah,
cost me like $100.
I love Burita. It when they vulture. Yeah. Don't these coaches know that we need them for our fantasy team and our
I wonder if they
bets?
Ever get just like a little chuckle like, I bet that screwed some people.
Probably. Somebody
but
does.
Everything, I mean, there's bets on everything. If you let this person not get a touchdown, this person does. You know, just different people winning money. Interesting. This one's gone up a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but I think he smashed it. Debo Samuel over under 20.5 rushing yards.
Under.
Yeah, I kind of like that under here, too.
I don't think they're going to be running the ball in the second half.
Yeah. And then we got receiving props. George Kittle, 46.5.
I'll go over.
I'll go over, too. It's pretty juiced, but yeah, I'll take the over. Debo, 51.5.
I'll go over.
I'm going to take the under. I think he doesn't show up this game. Sometimes he just doesn't show up.
Banged up.
It's going to be one of those games. Ayuk, 45.5.
Under.
I'll take the over. I'll take the opposite there. You know?
That makes sense because you're over on the passing yards and I'm not. I see it like funneling to just those two guys.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit to McCaffrey, but maybe just Debo and Kittle.
Okay, and then we'll go A.J. Brown, 70.5.
Oh, over.
Yeah.
Like he's going to have like a 40 to 50 yard touchdown in this game.
One of the guys I like to listen to a lot was talking about the bet of Jalen Hurts' longest completion over like 35 yards, and he's like, they're going to gash him once or twice.
They'll get that. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
If the Eagles are going to do what we think they're going to do, they're going to have to throw it. I mean, they're not going to be able to just run the ball in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like I said, I think most of their rushing is going to be set up on passing plays where he just runs around.
Yeah. Okay, so then the Chiefs game, Mahomes' passing yards is at 282.5.
Over.
I like the over there, too.
I'm loving over. By the way, to finish our DFS thought, just play guys in this game.
Yeah.
Play like the Eagles D and then maybe one or two pieces if you want to slide in like a Goddard or a Debo or something, but then just play guys in this game. But continue.
And then, yeah, I'm guessing you're taking the over on Burrow, too, 276.5?
Absolutely. Yeah. Over on both.
Taking that. Receiving yards, Boyd, 31.5.
I'll go under. He's not that big a part of their offense. He had one catch last week.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'll take that under. That's a good point. T. Higgins, 56.5.
Over.
I like the over. Jamar Chase, 83.
I like T. Higgins for anytime touchdown, by the way.
Yeah, I'll let you know what that's at in just a second.
Jamar Chase.
83.5 for him.
Over.
Okay.
They can't stop him.
Juju, 46.5.
Over.
Kelsey, 77.5.
I'll go under. I think he catches like 6 or 7 balls for about 70 and probably gets like one touchdown. I think he pays off his salary in DFS or close, but I don't see a massive day because they're going to scheme the hell out of him. I think it's going to have to be other guys that beat him.
I can see it. I guess I'm with you on that. Still might sprinkle on the over 100.
Give me some rushing yards there.
All right, rushing props. Mixon, 59.5.
I'll go over here.
Okay.
By a little bit.
Yeah. Pacheco, 47.5.
Over.
I liked over there a lot. P. Ryan, 17.5.
He'll be on the just because I think he'll be on the field a lot because he blocks. I'll go over because the Chiefs will assume it's a pass play when he's in there more times than not. And they'll burn him once or twice.
Yeah. No line for Mahomes, which is I guess not that surprising considering they don't know how his ankle will hold up. Last week after he got hurt, he was still running. I was like, Mahomes.
What if his over under was 8.5 this week? What would you take?
I'd probably take it.
So would I. I'd go over on that.
Over.
The only problem is you have the kneel downs at the end. You almost have to take away 3 yards when you take a quarterback in the rushing and say, okay, can he get to 12?
Yeah.
Because he's probably going to kneel it once. You have to just assume he might kneel it once at the end of the first half and then twice at the end or something.
Yeah. That's worst case, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then McKinnon, 28.5.
Rushing?
Yes.
Under.
I'm liking the under too.
I think they run a little bit with Pacheco. And then mainly, I don't.
I think he gets like 4 or 5 carries.
Yeah. I like Pacheco over. But not McKinnon.
Yeah.
So, all right.
And then let me find that touchdown for you real quick.
Yeah, give me that T. Higgins.
T. Higgins is at 170, plus 170.
Wish it was higher, but that's a good same game parlay on FanDuel Sportsbook.
They usually go up a little bit toward the game, so maybe keep an eye on that one.
I believe we have another no sweat same game parlay on FanDuel Sportsbook this weekend. Let's build one real quick here before we get to our lock of the week. Why don't we take, which game do you want to do?
It's the Chiefs game.
Chiefs, give me the Chiefs and whatever the spread is. Give me anytime touchdown for Juju and anytime touchdown for T. Higgins. That's mine. You build one now.
All right. Well, I'm building yours on here to give you the numbers.
Oh, yeah. What are the odds on there?
You said
Juju, T. Higgins, and Chiefs money line. And take the over, too. Put the over in.
Okay. It's going to be a very nice payout then. All right. That's going to be plus 21.49.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But the 2 touchdowns really do it for you.
Wow. Okay.
So 10 to win 214, so.
And it's no sweat. So.
It's no sweat, yeah.
Hey, I'll take that.
So, yeah, I like that a lot.
I'll either take 214 or I'll take my money back.
There you go.
Put in another bet. You want to build one?
Sure, yeah.
Then I promise a lock of the week.
Okay.
People are like, just shut up and give us a lock. You can fast forward like another minute and a half if you want the lock of the week, by the way.
If you don't want to hear my awesome picks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll go with McKinnon touchdown.
I like that.
I was thinking of T. Higgins this week, too, because I don't know if Jamar Chase gets in. He gets a lot of work, but he scored last weekend. And then... We'll go Mahomes over passing.
What's that?
Does that have to be four? Or is it three this week? I can't remember.
I think it's three. Okay, then, put four just in case. We'll go with that. Do four since I did four.
And then I was thinking about teasing them down, so I would do like an alternate line.
Okay.
Let me find that.
On the Bengals? On the Bengals, like plus five or plus six or something?
No, actually like the over-under.
Oh, the over-under. I got you.
Yeah. So take that down to over 40 and a half, and we've got plus 1146.
Ooh. Read it one more time.
Jerry McKinnon touchdown, T. Higgins touchdown, Mahomes overpassing, over 40 and a half points.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Let's give the people what they want. The lock of the week. Let's go live on TikTok. You ready, Killian?
Let's do it.
LFG, baby.
Let's make you some money on FanDuel with Dave O's lock of the week.
We don't know what losing is, baby, on the KC Press Box. We've lost 21 times, but we've won 44 times. 44 wins, 21 losses on the lock of the week with FanDuel Sportsbook. Smash that like and subscribe button right here and wherever you get your podcasts at, the KC Press Box with me, Dave O, and Killian White. So, Killian, we got to give the people another lock of the week. This is one of my top three strongest locks of the entire year. It's the NFC Championship game. And, Killian, you probably see me all the time eating Philly cheesecakes, steaks, whatever they call it. Cheese steaks. You see me eating them all the time, right?
I don't think I've ever seen you eat a cheesecake or a cheesesteak.
Okay, fine.
Well, so you go to Subway a lot. Does that count?
No, okay, fine. I'm lying about that. Fine, I'm lying about that. But I do love Mark Wahlberg movies. Mark Wahlberg loves the Philadelphia Eagles. I also love Mike Trout, for that matter. He loves the Philadelphia Eagles. All that aside, Eagles minus 2.5 is an absolute lock this week. Pound it. Are you kidding me? The Niners ain't winning 13 games in a row. They ain't going on the road here. The best defense they've seen all year long. Purdy is due for some turnover regression. Two coming this week. The Eagles easily cover this game. Minus 2.5. Pound it. Let's go!
Let's go. Let's get you that Philly cheesesteak.
Or cheesecake.
Or cheesecake, yeah.
I have actually one time eaten a Philly cheesesteak in Philly, by the way. I was at a Phillies game a few years ago. Pretty good, actually. But
do you know which one it was from?
I don't, actually. I forget.
Our friend Kurt, the resident Philly
We work with a guy that's from Philly. He knows what it is, though, because I brought it up to him. I told him I had it at the Philly Stadium, and he's like, oh, that's whatever. He's like, yeah, he goes, that's like top three. It's not the best, but it's really good. So, yeah, it's definitely certainly better than the Sweet Baby Ray's that we serve here in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium. People come into town expecting to find Gates or Q39 or Charbar or Jack Stack. No, we've got Sweet Baby Ray's at the ballpark.
That is pretty
fantastic,
funny.
Guys. Way to really represent our town.
Hey, the airport's going to be better. You saw they have, like, every restaurant.
What's the airport going to have?
No, it's like actually, like, all, like there's a bunch of local barbecue restaurants and it's actually gonna be really good. Yeah.
Okay, good. So we're upgrading from the typical McDonald's and Smoothie King and you know, that kind of random stuff, and the Starbucks with the 3-day-old sandwiches that they sell in there that I still eat because they're pretty good.
Are there cheesesteaks in there?
They don't have any cheesesteaks or cheesecakes in there. You have any other locks? Rate these three in order: Eagles minus 2.5, over in the Chiefs game, and the Chiefs. Which way? How would you order those bets individually?
I'm with the Eagles. Is probably my favorite, minus 2.5. I like the Chiefs here. I'm gonna take that too,
okay.
And then the over at number three. But those are my three favorite too.
Yeah. And you have to choose one 6-point teaser. So you have to choose which way you're teasing these two games. What's your teaser?
I mean, it's kind of what we preach against, but based on the two teams I'm picking, I'm gonna take the Chiefs up to what would that be, like minus 5 or plus 5, and then we get the
Eagles
plus 3.5.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
or you could do a 7-point teaser and try and get the Chiefs up to plus 6. That might be worth it. Just take a look.
Juice is too much. The Chiefs are going to win outright.
Yeah.
So are the Eagles. So, but that gives you a little protection in case they lose by a field goal, something like that. All right. Well, we will be back again next week recapping the games. We'll do two episodes before the Super Bowl, but we'll have one coming up next week. I guess we'll wait for our official Super Bowl predictions till the week after. So, next week we'll come with you, hit you with a 30-minute episode, maybe a shorter episode, go over the games, what we saw this week. And talk about some other random sports things as well. So that'll be coming up next week. Until then, Killian, you ready to make some money?
Yes, sir. We are out.
Powered by FanDuel, it's the KC Press Box with Dave O and Killian White.